From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, workers at Samsung Electronics vote on the last-minute wage deal that helped avert a potentially crippling strike. U.S. President Donald Trump says Washington will retrieve Iran's stockpile of near-weapons-grade uranium. And two South Korean activists return home after being apprehended by Israeli forces aboard eight ships heading to Gaza. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. A vote by unionized workers at Samsung Electronics is underway on a last-minute tentative wage deal that helped avert a potentially crippling strike. But the bonus provisions in the agreement are applicable only if the voting achieves the required quorum. Rosenbach has more.
Samsung Electronics union members began voting at 2 p.m. on Friday on the tentative pay agreement that was reached between labor and management. Ballots will be cast via electronic voting until 10 a.m. next Wednesday. The vote includes all eligible company-wide union members, representing over 70,000 employees. More than half of them must cast ballots, and a majority must vote in favor of the deal for it to pass. If these voting thresholds are not met, the tentative agreement will become null and void, forcing both labor and management to return to the negotiating table. On Wednesday, both parties agreed to set aside 10.5% of an agreed-upon company performance figure as bonuses for the Device Solutions Unit, on top of Samsung's existing bonus program, an average 6.2% wage increase, and improved welfare benefits such as housing loans, among other provisions. Choi Sung-ho, chairman of Samsung's largest labor union, said the negotiated deal was a result of their best efforts. He added that the outcome of the vote will serve as a report card for union leaders. Observers expect the tentative pay deal to pass, but there are some potential roadblocks. Some unionized workers, particularly those in the non-memory and device experience units, have taken issue with the deal, which will give them significantly lower incentives than those in the lucrative memory chip division. Rosine Park, KBS World Radio News.
U.S. President Donald Trump said Thursday the U.S. will retrieve Iran's stockpile of near-weapons-grade uranium.
Keep their highly enriched uranium.
No, we get the highly enriched. We will get it. We don't need it. We don't want it. We'll probably destroy it after we get it, but we're not going to let them have it. Okay?
Citing two Iranian sources, Reuters reported earlier in the day that Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei issued a directive that its highly enriched uranium should not be sent abroad. Retrieving about 900 pounds of highly enriched uranium from Iran is one of Trump's key objectives in the war. Trump also noted that the U.S. does not want tolls on the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran wants to charge for crossing the critical shipping lane. A leading U.S. daily says the U.S. military has depleted much of its inventory of terminal high-altitude area defense interceptors in defense of Israel, raising security concerns for South Korea and Japan. The Washington Post on Thursday quoted U.S. officials as saying the U.S. launched more than 200 THAAD interceptors in defending Israel, or roughly half of the Pentagon's total inventory. The paper quoted Kelly Grieco, a senior fellow at the Stimson Center, as saying that the shortage of U.S. interceptors has alarmed U.S. allies in Asia, particularly Japan and South Korea, which rely on the United States as a deterrent to potential threats from North Korea and China. Grieco also said the United States absorbed most of the missile defense mission while Israel conserved its own magazines, adding that even if the operational logic was sound, the United States is left with roughly 200 THAAD interceptors in a production line that can't keep pace with demand. The Daily quoted one administration official as saying that if the U.S. and Israel resume hostilities against Iran in the coming days, the U.S. military is likely to expend an even greater share of interceptors because of a recent decision by the Israeli military to take some of its missile defense batteries offline for maintenance, adding that the imbalance will likely be exacerbated if fighting restarts. Two South Korean activists who were apprehended by Israeli forces aboard eight ships heading to Gaza returned home on Friday. Kim Ah-hyun and Kim Dong-hyun landed at Incheon International Airport at around 6:23 a.m. after departing from Bangkok. Kim Ah-hyun told reporters at the airport that she had been traveling to Gaza to provide assistance to people dying of starvation. She intends to attempt another visit until Gaza is free and after its liberation to other isolated regions around the world. Kim stated that she had been struck several times in the face by Israeli forces and lost hearing in her left ear. Fellow activist Kim Dong-hyun accused Israel of illegally kidnapping unarmed vessels in international waters and torturing and detaining civilians. The foreign ministry said it takes seriously testimony from two South Korean activists who claimed they were assaulted by Israeli forces. The ministry said in a statement on Friday that the South Korean government gravely views the alleged assault by Israeli forces and has conveyed its position to Israeli authorities. The ministry added that it would take measures appropriate to the gravity of the matter, depending on the outcome of fact-finding efforts. South Korea will likely see hotter-than-average temperatures and increased rainfall this summer. In its summer outlook for June through August released Friday, the Korea Meteorological Administration forecast a 90% chance that temperatures will be near or above seasonal averages due to warmer sea surface temperatures in the northern Indian Ocean and the North Pacific. The weather agency said rainfall during the monsoon season in June and July will likely be at or above average, with an 80% probability. Rainfall in August is forecast to remain near average overall, although localized heavy downpours are possible. The KMA added that about 2.5 typhoons are expected to affect South Korea this summer, similar to the seasonal average. South Korea's farm household income hit a record high in 2025, driven in part by higher prices for agricultural products. According to the 2025 Farm and Fishery Household Economy Survey released by the Ministry of Data and Statistics on Friday, the annual average income of farm households last year reached nearly 54.67 million won, or roughly $36,000, up 8% from 2024. The figure marks the highest income level for farms since related statistics were first compiled in 1962. Agricultural income jumped 22.3% over the cited period to just over 11.7 million won, while transfer income such as subsidies increased 9.1% to 19.89 million won. The ministry explained that agricultural income increased on the back of higher prices for South Korean beef, fruits, and other agricultural products, and transfer income rose due to subsidies like the Livelihood Recovery Consumption Coupon Program and public pensions. A trade fair aimed at supporting the overseas expansion of South Korean companies related to K-culture will be held in the United States. The Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism said Friday that the 2026 K-Expo USA will take place in Los Angeles from Saturday to Wednesday local time in cooperation with several government agencies, including the Ministries of Agriculture, Oceans, Health, and SMEs. The expo is a comprehensive event aimed at promoting the international growth of companies across various aspects of K-culture, including K-content, food, beauty, and tourism. The event has toured countries including Vietnam, Thailand, France, Canada, Spain, and the United Arab Emirates, and will now be hosted in the United States for the first time. Major South Korean companies, along with AI content firms, will participate in exhibitions showcasing advanced K-culture technologies and the latest trends. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index rose 32.12 points, or 0.41% on Friday, to close at 7,847.71. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ jumped 55.16 points, or 4.99%, to close at 1,161.13. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.